All right, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know.
Oh, there you are.
I'm live. I know most of you, but I just wanted to reintroduce myself. I'm Maggie Walker, and I'm the newbie to the teaching team, so bear with me today. Shoot up a prayer. Also, I'm very contraptioned up, so hopefully I don't catch myself. All right, so are there any Taylor Swift fans here? Okay, a few. All right, so if you know anything about Taylor Swift, she has basically made her career off of her reputation, right? An entire career dedicated to telling the world how she has earned this bad reputation in some facet of her life, and then proceeds with taking entire albums to persuade you to think differently about her. She wants you to know this bad reputation she has, like with being a man-eater, for example, just isn't true. And she makes her money on exploiting how she is known. And if you noticed, as you did your homework this week, every time we read about Mary, she's referred to not just as Mary, but always as Mary Magdalene. Commentaries actually often refer to her as Mary Magdala because that was where she was from. And back in the day, where you were from was how you were known. But today we're going to talk about how she was known wasn't her destiny or her future. Destiny is defined as the hidden power believed to control what will happen in the future, fate. And through Mary's story, we see that a hidden power that once controlled her fate was only her temporary identity and not what ultimately defined her. She didn't let how she was known in her past become her future. All right, let's pray. God, just thank you so much that we are here today, here to learn more about your word, here to know more about the characters in the Bible that just portrayed you more and deeply. Father, may we take away from today that we can have an identity in you and that it can be new and fresh. Lord, speak through me today, and we're grateful again for being here. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so we don't know a whole lot about Mary's life before she is first mentioned in Luke's gospel in chapter 8. Our introduction to her simply says this: after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So this is what we have so far. She is from Magdala, a little town on the Lake of Galilee in Israel, and she was once full of evil spirits. And then they told me to give a 20-minute talk off of that. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. All right, so today we're going to get a closer look at Jesus through Mary of Magdala's life and talk about how we are known and what that looks like before we know Jesus and what it can look like after you know him and acknowledge him as your personal savior. Today we're going to look at the fact that we all have a past, but it doesn't have to define us. We all can have a present encounter with Jesus that in turn can determine our future because Jesus changes the way we are seen and known. So our first point, we all have a past, but it doesn't have to define us. So let me ask you this, how are you known? What do you consider to be your identity? Is it by your wealth and your status in our community? Is it by your career and the power you might hold in your job? Is it by your kids and how they behave, making you feel like a good mom? Or is it something else? Maybe it's something in your past. When you really start to wrap your head around this, it can be a lot to take. Some of you might be thinking, well, I wouldn't want anybody to really know me. But regardless of the type of reaction you get in your heart when you think about this question, I know that how we're known, identified, and defined by is important to all of us. And I'm sure that was true for Mary as well. However, you can also imagine that Mary's reputation as a demon-possessed woman was a bit on the disgrace side. People probably didn't think highly of her, and they misjudged her on her outward presentation. We don't know how long Mary was full of the 7 spirits before Jesus healed her, but we can imagine that in her hometown she was known as Demon Girl or something to that effect. The Bible doesn't tell us how she was affected by these demons or what they did to her, but you can imagine it was pretty awful. John MacArthur, who's a pastor and author, described it as this: whatever her condition, she would have been in perpetual agony, at least 7 kinds of agony. Demoniacs in scripture were always friendless. They were perpetually restless because of their inability to escape the constant torments of their demonic captors. They were continually joyless because of all of life had become darkness and misery for them. And they were hopeless because there was no earthly remedy for their spiritual afflictions. Sounds pretty awful, right? And before we go any further, a little sidebar comment, I just want to acknowledge that talking about demon possession is really weird and a bit hard for us to imagine, especially for those of us who've grown up in the U.S. However, it's not so hard to imagine things like good versus evil or Satan opposing God or even things like spiritual warfare. And these are all side effects of a broken, fallen world. Demon possession is just another one of those things, and it comes from the brokenness of our fallen world. And unfortunately, it's still very present around the world and a very real thing. Satan is still very much at work, even if it isn't as in your face as things like demon possession. And to be clear, demons and sin and poor health are not one and the same. In fact, they are all very different. But like I said, we live in a fallen world, and so there are a lot of parallels in this story for our own lives. Okay? So I felt like the homework did a great job in exploring the different ways demon possession can affect a person. Take this superhuman who was filled with legion in Mark 5. A commentary I read said the demons were determined to destroy him. Then there was the poor boy in Mark 9 who the spirit kept trying to kill by throwing him into fire or drowning him. And then there we saw in Luke 13 there was the more docile but brutally long example of a woman who was consumed by the crippling spirit for 18 years. So even though we don't know what Mary literally dealt with, we can imagine it was destroying her, and she needed to be healed, freed, and given a new identity. We all have something in our past, whether that is our deep past or just 2 hours ago past, that we need to be healed or freed from. Some of you might be thinking, oh, only if you knew. And others might be thinking, I don't have a past. I've had a pretty good go of things. However, compared to Jesus, none of us measure up. None of us are perfect, and we all have something that just isn't quite right. And at times, we allow it to mess with us, and we allow it to be our identity or have a hand in shaping our identity. And so while you haven't been demon-possessed, I guarantee you, though, at some point in your life, you have experienced the weight, bondage, and torment of sin and darkness from a sinful world. And if you've been around Willowdale for any point in time, you've probably heard about our incredible program called Celebrate Recovery. And CR is a program for anyone who wants to process through their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And I love this phrase because all of us have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We all have sin in our life that on different levels we allow to dictate how we feel, how we look at ourselves, and how we live our life. Take me, for example. Pre-college, I would say I was a pretty good kid. I hardly did anything wrong because I was a rule follower and I wanted to be, you know, that good Christian girl. But fast forward a few years into college and I started making some poor decisions. Now on a scale of a college partier, I was probably at like a 2 or 3. However, I was coming across to people as a little more wild than I should have. And as sad as this is, perception is reality, whether it's the full truth or not. And this realization hit me one day like a giant slap in the face. A really good friend of mine who I thought knew me really well asked if a rumor he had heard was true. That rumor wasn't true, but that didn't matter. Because how I was known, or my identity to the world around me, even if it was false, was I was someone whose personal moral compass was okay with going in that direction. And the truth was, I was not okay with living that way. That day, something in me drastically changed. I wanted to be known differently. I wanted to be defined by what my life really stood for, something more than my poor decisions and this false reality I painted for myself. Has this happened to you? Has your life temporarily been defined by something that it shouldn't have? Have you allowed something huge or even small to dictate how you feel, how you look at yourself, or how you live your life? Is how you are known a false reality that needs to be rescued from bondage? Maybe once upon a time your identity was known as an alcoholic or an addict. Or maybe your identity was a girl with an eating disorder. Maybe everyone in your past knew you as a victim or a survivor. Perhaps your identity was wrapped up in these things and you weren't sure how to get out. You felt trapped. Maybe you have felt attacked through extreme emotional turmoil or through spiritual warfare. And these things took over in your life and you began to think, these are my future. I'm stuck in this rut forever. Or maybe you're known as that perfect PTA mom, but really, you're screaming your kids out the door on the way to the bus every single morning because you have no patience. Or maybe your social media identity portrays a perfect family, but as you post your latest picture, you're snapping at your husband and cutting him down. We all have experienced something, whether it's years ago or minutes ago. Some dark thing has grabbed hold of your heart and allowed you to be tricked into thinking, this is it. This is who I am. This is my destiny, and this is how I will forever be known. However, I'm here to offer you encouragement through Mary's story because we got to take a closer look at Jesus this week through the life of Mary of Magdala. We got to see his power and what he can do to change our future. Which takes us to our second point. We all can have a present encounter with Jesus. And if you did the whole 5 days of homework, you know that Jesus changed Mary's life. Her life doesn't just stop at Mary of Magdala, the demon-possessed woman with no hope in life. She had an encounter with Jesus, and it forever changed her world. She is able to find a new identity in Jesus and what he offered her. Her destiny changed when she offered her life to Jesus, when she decided to be fully his and be defined by living in the freedom of what he had saved her from. Now, some of you still might be thinking, I really don't need to be saved from anything. I just don't have anything huge to be saved from. And I once thought that too. Like I mentioned before in my college story, I was a pretty good kid. I thought I got what grace was. However, I really didn't until one day I wasn't good enough. It didn't matter that I was good by the world's standards. My good was still tarnished compared to Jesus. I was a mess. The identity I had created for myself just wasn't cutting it anymore. Luckily, I was saved and chosen to live differently, not because I deserved it, but because God offered it to me. He offered me to be defined by how he saw me and not by my mistakes. One commentary I read said, Luke and Mark seem to mention Mary's former demonization only for the purpose of celebrating Christ's goodness and grace towards her. And this quote is so cool because it only highlights God's goodness all the more. Grace means the free and unmerited favor of God. And if this story doesn't define grace, I don't know what does. He loved her and didn't give her a future after she completed a whole task list of life changes. No, he would make her future new right away with nothing she did. She wanted to leave behind her old life and become a faithful follower of Jesus. She found a new identity in being his follower versus what she had come from in Magdala. Her life changed, and so her future changed. Now, fast forward some time to the end of the book of John. We don't see or hear about our girl Mary until then, but though she is quiet, she is fierce. The last few chapters in John focus in on Jesus' death and resurrection. John 19 says that only a few people had the boldness to stay faithful to the very end, and one of them was her. And remember, being a woman at that time, you did not hold much importance, so if they bothered to mention you, you were doing something right. Luke 7:47 says, Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. So while this verse isn't literally pertaining to her story in the Bible, I like to think that's why Mary stayed so faithful. She understood the concept of Jesus' grace towards her. She understood Jesus met her where she was and didn't leave her the way he found her. She experienced life-changing love, and so she devotedly loved him back. And so as they traveled around interacting with thousands of people, Jesus wanted her to be a new creation and help share that light she had found. Her life had been transformed, and she had fully taken on her new identity. Once again, John MacArthur says, Mary owed everything to Christ. She knew it too. Her subsequent love for him reflected the profound depth of her gratitude. She was shown great love by Jesus, and so she loved him back deeply and faithfully. And the only way she humanly knew how, Just like Mary, or just like Jesus had been with her at her darkest time, she tried to reflect that by standing at the base of the cross in his darkest moment. She didn't care that her life was in jeopardy by being faithful. She was willing to risk it all for the man who gave her a new lease on life, a savior who changed how she was known, and who changed her destiny. Which takes us to our last point. Our future is how Jesus sees us. So let me challenge you today. Are you allowing your past, your reputation, your hurts, habits, and hang-ups to define you? Are you allowing it to dictate how you let others love you and see you, or how much you feel value in someone's eyes? Are you allowing it to determine how much you let Jesus into your life and allow his power to transform you? I'm telling you today, all of us have a future that is bright, just like Mary of Magdala. We have a choice. She decided she didn't care what others thought. She probably didn't care what the people in Magdala knew her as once upon a time. How Jesus saw her was the most important thing to her. I think that is why after she was saved from her past, she followed Jesus. She followed him all the way to the base of the cross and then to the tomb. And then we see in John 20, Jesus appears to her first after his resurrection. First. Can you imagine? He must have known her love for him was so great. He knew she would continue to share the good news and spread the truth about him even after he was gone. I have a friend that reminds me a lot of Mary in this story. While she wasn't demon-possessed, growing up she did, however, have a lot of things happen to her. These things caused her to make decisions to live outside of how Jesus would have wanted her to live her life. She knew there was a God, but often throughout her earlier life just didn't feel worthy of his love. And because of that, she continued to do life her way until she became pregnant unexpectedly. This caused her to start to live a different life, and eventually it led her back to searching for Jesus. She had a literal come to Jesus moment and felt like God was chasing her down and pursuing her. She felt like he wanted to transform her and change her trajectory. And I've never experienced a literal overnight transformation like I have with this girl. She knew what God was calling her to do, and so literally and metaphorically picked up and left her past behind. She was transformed, and she accepted Jesus as Lord in her life and allowed him to change her destiny. She went from broken and hopeless to full of joy, passion, and excitement for life. She became all in, much like Mary. I mean, literally, almost every moment of her life was spent serving others in the name of Jesus. She was on mission to tell others about the great things Jesus had done for her and could also do for them. Her life was transformed, and she allowed her identity to be defined by how Jesus saw her. She no longer was defined by her mistakes of her past. And this can be us too. All of us have the privilege and opportunity to have this as our present reality. We all get the chance to know Jesus. He loved not only Mary enough, but he loved you enough to die for you. He wants a relationship with you. If Jesus sees you and is willing to look past your mistakes, why should you be hung up on them? Why should you allow them to define you and determine your future? He wants to define you. He wants to change your trajectory. So, I invite you to allow him to do that. Whether you have never asked him to do that before, or you need a fresh start and a do-over, nothing else has to define you. Jesus can be your new identity, just like Mary. She allowed his love for her and what he saved her from to be what defined her. It became the outpouring of her life. We saw that a hidden power that once controlled her, her fate was only her temporary identity and not what ultimately defined her. She didn't let her past become her future. God's love for her life was her purpose and how she was known. What people remember Mary as through the course of history is not the demon-possessed girl. What they remember her as is the girl who stood with Jesus to the very end and who he appeared to first. Her past isn't what defined her, it was her future. So I invite you to do the same. Let's pray. God, we're just grateful that you allow us the opportunity to know you in such a deep and real way, and that you are desiring to change us, to allow us to be seen the way you see us, as your children, as dearly loved. So, Father, may we live in that today. May that transform us and dictate the rest of our life. We give you today, we give you our discussion time. Help it to glorify you and help us to grow from one another. In your name I pray. Amen.